shots in the pool. That is not cool. I need the tool. Take me to school. Feet first into this league. Me first. That cannot be. Under the underdog Monica G. Feeling a whole lot better suddenly. I get in with it. Winning again. You're 1-2 in the bag and I'm going for 3. That is the beat down. God are the best, so I keep now. Y'all treading water for weeks now. Now I'm the shark, so I eat. Now look, I am not sorry. I understood the pun from which I started. And navigating these drafts is cathartic. So thanks for the invite to party, yeah. Down is the underdog bite down. Up at the day and the night now. Easy as flying a kite now. Come take a look at it right now. Down is the underdog bite down. Up at the day and the night now. Easy as flying a kite now. Come take a look at it right now.
Hello and welcome to episode 119 of Dynasty Underdog. Josh here, along with me, as always, are my two esteemed co-hosts, Billy and Uriah. How are you guys feeling this glorious week 11 of the NFL season?
Esteemed. I'm feeling esteemed.
Esteemed.
I didn't even know it was like that. Awesome.
I didn't even know that could be used to describe me. But no, it's great, man. Great.
You definitely do the intro better.
Just getting ready for the fantasy playoffs, man. Coming up soon here.
Yes, sir.
Home stretch.
Man.
I got to ask really quick, because when I got the email this week, I did not see your name on the top 10. Where are you currently sitting in Scott Fish?
I think 13.
Oh, okay. So you're still chilling.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, I don't know how much hope there really is at this point. After losing, like, Breece Hall, I think, was the main cog. It was like the extra oomph on top. He was that cherry on top, especially because Jameis Winston isn't playing. So I'm really riding Josh Allen, and I also have Jamar Chase, who hasn't played a couple of weeks. So I don't know, maybe it could come together in the end in the playoffs and I can make a push for it. But yeah, you know, it's all fun. It's cool to be up there, and I enjoyed my time at the top, but nothing lasts forever. That's how things go.
I mean, that was like 3-4 weeks of being ranked 1 or 2, so that's
yeah.
It's not easy to do.
I can't complain. Can't complain. Nah, it was fun. It was fun. And there's still a shot, so we'll see what happens.
Yep.
So, all right, let's hop into some news and nonsense.
Awesome. Tight end, Cardinals, Zach Ertz went down with an injury. I think he's on IR. I think he's on IR. So
who cares? It's Trey McBride season.
Come on. Come on.
Just stole that from me.
I love Trey McBride. I'm high on him, but he has just said nothing to impress me this season.
He's done nothing, but that doesn't mean – I don't know. That tight ends take a long time to break out, and he's had Zach Ertz in his way. They have no reason to use him. I think he ran a target – He ran a route in, like, every play or every pass play that they ran. Or it was, like, 20 of 22 or something like that. So he's – I think he's going to be involved going forward.
I do, too. You know, he was out there for, like, a bajillion of the snaps and most of the routes, and, you know – I'm like one of the biggest Trey McBride proponents, and I've had to be quiet about him a lot this year but I just look at it like, if I don't care who you are, if you're playing behind Zach Ertz, like, Zach Ertz has demanded targets his entire fucking career, no matter how old he is. So I was just waiting patiently, you know, Trey McBride warming up there. I'm a taxi squad, just waiting. Now's his chance. I'm very excited about him. So
yeah, this is we should come up with some. I just thought about this now. We should come up with maybe a topic for next week. Some targets like Trey McBride, who we probably should have been going after this whole time, trading thirds for and stuff like that, in hopes of something like this happening, or, you know, him turning into something in the future. Regardless, just because he's been forgotten, right? And I'm sure there's some other prospects that have fallen by the wayside, just, you know, like Trey McBride has, but he's a good one who probably should have been going after if you did believe in him this entire time, because he has been, I think, forgotten by the entire dynasty community, and all of a sudden there he goes, value risen really quickly.
Another tight end injury. This just seemed to be the week of tight ends going down. Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm actually going to look at their roster right now to see who the backup tight end is there, but I know
Grant Tyree Austin, Jackson.
Yeah, Tyree. I think isn't he still? He's like perpetually on IR, dude.
They literally took him off today.
Did they really? Wow, that's hilarious. That's interesting. So yeah, I mean, Tyree Jackson's a guy, but also I think Grant Calcaterra might get some play there. He's a rookie that looked okay, so we'll see what happens there. But yeah, tough for Goddard. I mean, he's only out for a couple weeks, so he should be back. Could be a buy low opportunity for, you know, if there's a contender, because I know a lot of contenders out there have Goddard and Ertz. So there's Ertz, probably not a guy you want to buy low on. Goddard definitely has some more value.
Yeah. I think if anything, this should open up a couple more targets in that offense for a guy who's had a really, really good rookie year, but it's kind of been meh this year, and Devonta Smith. So look for Devonta Smith to have a little bit better rest of the season, I think.
I mean, if last game was any indication, then hopefully that just keeps riding hot.
Yeah.
Uriah, real quick, which side would you take, Cup or Devonta Smith, Jacoby Myers in the second?
Smith, Jacoby in the second.
Okay. What if it was just Smith and Jacoby?
Yeah, I think I still do that. I mean, folks are forgetting, like, yes, Cup was wide receiver one last year.
He's wide receiver three in points per game this year, too.
Okay, I mean, but he's old. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to move on.
See, Billy, I was not the only one.
Yeah, I think I'd do that.
Cool.
So just really quick background. Me and Billy were talking because he posted about getting rid of Cup. I was like, oh, I'm interested. He offered me this crazy deal. And
as he do.
I don't think it was that crazy, but whatever.
Whatever. Top loaded deal. on Monday, and I was thinking about it. Of course, Mr. Smith goes off Monday night. So then that makes me reevaluate. And I was
goes off. What was it, like six catches and a touchdown?
Whatever. He had the best game he's had in a while. So I'm saying going off. But now I was telling Billy that if he would have offered me this deal probably on Sunday when I was still pretty low on Smith, I probably would have accepted. But then because Smith had his breakout game, quote unquote breakout game, that I was like, no, you know what? Let me hold on to them and see what happens here.
This is a great topic too. Just like how quickly values change in Dynasty, which is like a long game, but you're playing a short game because one game can change the way you feel about a player. And I'm not saying you're right or wrong. We all do that. It's just, you know, it's just interesting how that psychology works, because he could go for another three games and do absolutely terribly. And
oh, exactly. But it was also me giving up a 23 and I believe a 25 year old for a 29 year old. Come that
30 year old. Yeah, sure.
30 year old that just got injured. So
yeah, I mean, we'll talk about Cup probably a ton today, but I don't think that. I mean, we're going right into it. We're going to talk about Cup now and later in some trades, but I don't think that the outlook for Cup should be so like dismal or so, you know, doubtful, like that he can return to form. He's having surgery on his ankle. Like just because MT had a similar type deal and never came back, like MT clearly has injury issues, right? Like his body is failing him. Cup, yeah, he has issues. Yeah, Cup, Cup, not so much. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be such a problem for him. So for me, I think that he's going to come back to a guy who's scoring in the top 10 points per game for another year or two. So I think that he has a good amount of value for anybody who wants to utilize him if they're trying to win in that time frame.
Oh, I definitely agree. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say Cup is dead in the water by any means. But at the same time, his quarterback situation scares the shit out of me. Stafford's had a very up and down year. And I know Cup has proven to be QB proof.
Right. Guys who are like Cup are QB proof. So it's one of those things where I don't know how. And I don't. Stafford's not. I don't. I'm pretty sure Stafford's going to be there for another year or two.
Oh, 100%. I cannot stand getting rid of him. Yeah.
So he's good enough to get Cup the ball 10 times a game, right? That's all that matters.
Hey.
All right. We digressed. Sorry about that, everyone.
It's all good.
Fine. All right. Juju Smith-Schuster, concussion, nasty concussion.
Knocked out. He got knocked out.
That was a way out right there.
What are you going to do? There's nothing. I don't know if there's any actionable anything here, but yeah, that was a brutal, brutal injury, man. He was looking good, though, before that.
Yeah. We said last week, you know, try to go sell Juju. That's not going to be as easy to do anymore. It's not going to be as easy to do.
Well done.
I tried. I couldn't get a deal done.
I think in a couple of weeks, he'll be back fine.
Yeah.
Hopefully our listeners sold him before the injury after listening to last week's episode. So
I don't think this is like something that he's not going to cut. There's plenty of time left in the season. A lot of leagues trade deadlines aren't for another week, if not more than that, if not at all. So there's plenty of time to trade Juju. I'm not too worried about that.
But coming off the concussion, everything right now, what would you say his value is? Third? Or am I too low?
No.
Way. I think he's much closer to a first. Probably a high second. Really? Yeah, a high second plus something. But, you know, if you're a contender and you have like the 1-11-12, I could see somebody doing that if they wanted to boost their team. But right now, while with the concussion, if somebody needs players in production, you might be able to you know, swing something where you get him a little bit cheaper. You know what I mean? Closer to what you're saying, but not there. Yeah, third's way too low. He was smashing, dude. He was as low as his target share was. I mean, we had Paul on here last week talking about that. He was still getting enough targets per game, upwards of like 8, to where like he could produce, and he was producing. So I think when he comes back, he'll do that for a contender. So it's worth that kind of value. I would be looking for other trade targets, but I just think that that's kind of where his value is at. Okay, Khalil Herbert, IR, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
In Montgomery season. I was buying low on Montgomery anyway because he was getting a lot of work, and I know everybody's down on him, but I'll continue to just ride the wave calmly. It's not a really big wave. It's a nice, calm wave. You know, this ain't no tsunami, but I think he gets it done, and I think in the absence of Khalil Herbert, I don't think Treston Ebner is going to take a ton of work. Like, I don't think he takes over all of Khalil Herbert's touches. I think that David Montgomery is more likely to get one or two more targets, one or two more carries here or there. And he may not be that much better with it, but he's pretty steady. So I'm excited to see what he can do without Khalil Herbert there, to be honest with you.
See, I actually disagree with you. I really think Treston Ebner this year is going to be last year's Khalil Herbert.
I think every new player in this system is last year's guy. We've been doing this since since what's his name. We've been doing this since you know, what's his name? We had a really tough career and tough go at it. The other running
Tariq
back
Cohen.
There. Tariq Cohen. Yeah, it's been everybody's the next Tariq Cohen. It was Khalil Herbert, and now it's going to be Treston Ebner. I'm sure there's some other guy behind them, too.
So it's not Treston Ebner season, you don't think?
I don't think so. I think he's much more of a change of pace just when they need to spell Montgomery. Like, I don't – they haven't been using him anyway. Why wouldn't they be using him if he was talented enough? You know what I mean? Like – he's a special teams guy. So yeah, I think that Montgomery, like we've seen without Herbert, Montgomery has gotten 20 touches easily before. Now, do I think that that's going to be consistent over 4 weeks, that he's just going to get 20 touches? That's probably not sustainable. So I think it's going to fluctuate a little bit between 15 and 20, but he's going to get all of the goal line touches. He's going to get all of the high value touches. So yeah, I think going into the playoffs, he has actually a pretty nice schedule too, with Fields doing better. I mean, it could go right for him.
Yeah.
I like it. I need it.
And if you want to sell him, you might have a window over the next 4 weeks. Sorry.
Now, I think the biggest surprise of the week, Eno Benjamin getting waived.
Eno, what happened, bro? Like, I don't understand this. All of a sudden, just cut from the team after having a really good start to the season and, you know, replacing the production that James Conner left behind when he was injured. So, yeah, disappointing. There obviously must have been. I think maybe I just did. Was there a report that I don't know if I'm making this up, but I think there was a report that said it was more about his playing time. He was not happy with it.
Supposedly, he voices frustration over it.
So they're like, fine.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, I guess I get it from organizational perspective. I also get it from the player perspective. So it, like, if that's the reason you're cut, I guess it's better than it being some other reason, like,
very true,
you know, like off the field issue or something like that. So hopefully another team can pick him up. Or wait, he got signed to
Houston,
yeah.
Which is not the best landing spot, but I think it is funny because we were talking last week with Paul about Dameon Pierce and them bringing on another guy and it becoming a committee. And I just think it would be super funny if Eno Benjamin all of a sudden came in and took, like, you know, 5 to 10 touches or something a game. And he's the guy who actually, we already see him spell Pierce a little bit, but it's not the best landing spot for him. I like Eno though. So I feel like he'll find a place in the league between now and next year for, you know, a role for himself somewhere in the league.
Really quick, while we're on the topic of Houston, what do you guys think about them grabbing Amari Rodgers?
I hope they don't let him play special teams.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean,
that guy's a...
Yeah. Amari, you don't like Amari Rodgers?
He like fumbles every single kickoff return or punt return. Like, he's terrible. Yeah. He's a liability.
No, I've never been a fan of him. I think you can go back and check the tape. It's not great. But that wide receiver core is brutal. And I know Brandon Cooks is having troubles there. So I'm sure they're just looking for warm bodies. I don't have any high hopes for Rodgers.
So going back to Eno, I think the biggest thing for us dynasty wise, we got to look at Keontae Ingram seriously a little bit here, because you know that James Conner, I mean, his future there is not exactly solidified. His health is always a question, and I don't think there's anybody else in front of Ingram at this point. Keontae's the guy that, you know, you could throw a dart at in our 2022 rookie drafts in the fourth round. Now is really in a situation where I think he had like a 33% snap share a few weeks back, like got a little bit of playing time. But I think this is a guy that is super acquirable that could easily catapult himself into a starting role. And I think as dynasty players, we should probably be looking at trying to go ahead and acquire him while he's super cheap.
What do you think the price is?
I think most people would probably still give him to you for like a third. I mean,
yeah, a high third.
I'm working you over. So,
well, yeah. I mean, not everybody's as smart as you. But fair. I mean, a lot of people got him off waivers. A lot of people got him with like their last pick in the fourth round, and he still hasn't done anything. Like James Conner is still there. The most likely situation is that James Conner continues to be James Conner, and you know Ingram doesn't really do much. But if something happens, you just won the lottery. So I think most people will be willing to give you a third for him. And this is true even after the season. Like, we still don't know what's going to happen with James Conner. So make it through the rest of the season. James Conner plays every game. We still don't know, like, I mean, what's his contract? I don't know if he's not really, like, rooted there. Again, he doesn't stay healthy very long. You could still probably get...
Unfortunately.
Keontae Ingram pretty cheap. Doesn't have to be this week. Could be in a couple weeks. But if James Conner goes down, then you're not getting, you know, Ingram for a third. That's not happening. So
yeah, I mean, I would love to get him for a third right now. I mean, he's the backup there, and like everything you said, I totally agree with. James Conner is, there's an out in his contract for like $2 million dead cap in 24, but he's there for a couple of years if they want him to be, but very cheap, so he doesn't have to be there, and they could move on from him in some way or another. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's going to sell him to you for a third. I feel like all the people, if I sent a couple people I know right now a third for Keontae Ingram, they'd be like, are you kidding me? He's worth a second plus. And I'd be like, all right, Jesus Christ. So,
yeah, they're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, they're not, but all right. Yeah, there's something there. I mean, it's definitely something to explore. It's a weird situation. There's only a few guys there, so... Yeah, Keontae Ingram, it's definitely his time to carve out a role. So, yeah, go get him if you can for a third. I'm not paying a second for Keontae Ingram. I have zero interest in that. I'll take a shot for a third. How about Kadarius Toney? He put on a show this week, yeah?
Wheels up.
Yeah, I don't have the stat line in front of me, but I know he had a touchdown. He tiptoed into the end zone on one foot like a flamingo.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it was pretty good stuff. I think that there's hope for him. I mean, I think there was hope for him no matter what. We talked about it before the season that just the advanced metrics on him were through the roof. And then he goes and he's running routes for Patrick Mahomes. So changes a lot of things, you know, when you're running for Daniel Jones and he can't get the ball within, you know, 5-yard window of you, and then Patrick Mahomes can put it on you wherever and they're, you know, covering things up and making it easy for him to do what he's best at. So yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity for Tony. I wish that I was able to get him, buy low on him. Everybody I went to early in the year with any deals, they were just like, I want to see what happens. And that was probably the right move.
Yeah, it's amazing getting out of New York and heading over to Kansas City, what that could do for your career. So
you have a QB throwing at you now.
Yeah, plus Juju injury. We saw Mecole Hardman go down. So the opportunity is all there for him. He has league winner written all over him. Now, I'm not saying that's guaranteed or anything, but if he can carve out the role over the next couple of weeks and demand targets, then all of a sudden you got a stud that was, you know, came out of nowhere, and he was probably just sitting there on your bench, taxi squad, whatever it was. So, yeah, cool stuff for Tony. We'll see what happens, but I do think that there's a lot of opportunity for him. All right, what was his last one? Oh, God. Better waiver wire pickup, Van Jefferson or Ben Skronik? I mean, I don't know if there's Van Jefferson in any of my dynasty leagues, but for really quick redraft, I guess neither. There's got to be somebody better on the waivers if that is what you're doing there, but it's Van Jefferson for sure.
So I put this up just because, say, my notifications are going crazy with people picking the two of them up, and it honestly seemed to be 2-1. Ben over Ben, and I was very surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, Van Jefferson, I think he's coming off the injury, or he's, you know, he had the injury early in the season. So it's been slow return for him, but I think that he's the kind of guy with more upside. Now, you know, Skrona could get 6 or 7 targets and catch all of them for, you know, 40 yards. Maybe he gets a touchdown and he pays off, but I'd probably go Van Jefferson. I don't know.
Yeah, in redraft, the obvious answer is Tyler Higbee.
Yeah.
In Dynasty, Tyler Higbee, you know, as a starter. But I don't think in Fake Dynasty we could start Van Jefferson or Ben confidently. I mean, unless you had like the last few weeks, it's been kind of hard
to
start a full lineup. Like I'm putting guys in there like, what the hell am I doing? Oh, I need to start three of these. I only okay. I'll make it happen. But yeah, no, I you know, we're not big Higbee fans here, but you know, I think he's gonna probably fill into the cup role a little bit more than you could ask for Ben or Van. But truth be told, in the Word Degree Draft League I'm in, I picked up Ben and Higbee just because.
Hey, you were able to grab Higbee. That's not a bad pickup right there.
Yeah, surprised he was there. So, but yeah, a lot of injury news. A lot of people to look at playing behind him. I think, you know, obviously McBride, Keontae Ingram, and Tristan Ebner are people we need to kind of just think about, I guess.
Make some offers for sure. I mean, it's a good segue into the next topic, actually. It's trade deadlines are coming up in a lot of the leagues that I'm in that have trade deadlines. So I figured it was a good time to talk about some trade etiquette. I feel like a lot of people are getting upset about stuff. I got upset about something in our Devi league. I don't know if you saw that. You're right.
Oh, yeah. I don't care to talk about that here or anywhere else. I was like, all right,
bro. No, like that. First of all, that guy is in multiple of our chats. I don't know if you mm-hmm. know that he's the guy who left the Console Wars chat because everybody blew up on him that one time about the Deshaun Watson situation.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So. He's just an absolute fucking dickhead either way. No, like there's just some people that are like that. Like it's not, you know, like most of the people that we played fantasy with, honestly, 99% of the people we play dynasty with, zero problems. We talk trade, we do everything. This one guy in multiple league chats causes problems. I don't think I'm the problem. I think he's the problem.
So, I was going to say, that should tell you everything you need to know if it happens across multiple chats.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, let's talk about that one first and we'll just talk. I have a couple points here, a couple different, you know, things that I think people do that may take issue with or not. And we can just discuss. But this one right here, like public trade discussions, right? Like, and obviously it's one thing if you're like, just like outing, like, what the trade was in the league chat, like that's obviously a no-no, right? But this one was a little more nuanced, I feel like, right? Like I sent an offer to somebody and he comes in the league chat and says, explain that offer to me in the league chat, right? And I'm like, so you came in here just for a reaction, right? Because like you didn't come in here to actually understand why I sent it to you. Otherwise you would have DM'd me. You know what I mean? So
right.
I went in there. I was like, what? I went off, honestly. And then he's like actually like talking about the trade and everything. And I'm like, dude, you're doing this publicly. And he keeps going. I'm like, I don't want to talk about this with you here anyway. This is what Uriah was referring to. And and that essentially ended the conversation. But do you think that there's, I mean, I don't.
Well, I mean, you know my role.
You just shouldn't do that. It's pretty easy. You probably just shouldn't talk about publicly about trades, no matter which way you're doing it.
If somebody puts my trade on blast while we're in the middle of discussing it, you're done. You're blacklisted. I will not trade with you fucking again.
I love this.
He's got like a notebook and he's got like he's a grid.
He's like, you know, you're done. He's so dead serious.
You're done. I am. Don't put that shit on blast. I don't give a shit what the deal is. If you have an issue with it, discuss it with me one-on-one and let that be the end of it.
Yeah, it's just weird. I mean, I feel like some of that is just like, because especially if it's something that we play with, like we've been playing for, I don't know, like 4 years now. And a lot of these guys have been playing with them from the start. They know, you know, we talk about this on a weekly basis and if they want to tune in, they can.
Please like it, like and subscribe.
Yes. I mean, in a way, it's almost insulting. It's like, you know, we're not idiots. We're not like we don't claim to be the best dynasty players. Like nobody's a fucking professional or expert out here. But it'd be like, explain this trade to me. It's like, you, if you don't like it or you don't want to talk about it, just hit me up in the DMs. But like, don't try to make me feel like an idiot for sending this because I'm not an idiot.
Well, the other thing was he called it a dog shit trade offer in the chat. And I'm like, so if it's so dog shit, why are you even asking about it? Wouldn't you just decline it and move on? Like if it's that bad, so it's not that bad. You just want to cause a problem right now. Like, and that's the thing. Like, I think like, if you're that person, you're listening to this, don't be that person. Like, don't just cause problems for no reason. I don't understand. Like, I don't get it.
All you should have said was, so what place are you in Scottish Bowl again?
He's actually smashing in that league that we're in. He's doing pretty well. And he has everybody held hostage because he has all the tight ends. But yeah, that's a good comeback if anybody cared. I don't think they do though. So
they probably don't, but still.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's a pretty easy one. Okay. How do you guys feel about like accepting a deal in a DM, right? Like you're like, yeah, let's do that. And then yeah. You end up backing out when it comes down to it, whether it's accepting another one or just backing out.
What's the time delay between the DM and the trade being sent?
I don't know, say like tonight, I'm like, yeah, like that sounds like a good idea. Let's do that. We can do that trade. And I just like go to sleep and you send it, but I don't accept it or anything like that. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. And I just don't accept it. I'm like, yo, I'm not going to take the deal.
I mean, it's fucked up because you guys did agree to it. But at the same time, if you sleep on it and he didn't send the deal and then you might have thought about something, to me, that's a tough one. I've done it, so I don't want to paint myself red, but I feel like it happens. Like
it can, you discuss it can a deal. You can have done it and also think that it's not the right thing to do. It's okay.
Okay, then there. That's my view on it. I did it, but I think it's fucked up.
People are dynamic. It's okay. We're allowed to be like that.
I'm a man of my word. I'm a very faithful, loyal person and friend, trade partner. I have done this where I've made a deal. Things didn't even work out exactly the way they were, but like I felt, maybe this is wrong, but like I would just do the deal I accepted in the chats because I feel like you shook hands.
Yeah, I get that. I would feel awful. I don't know if I've done it. I was just thinking about this because I could see it happening to myself where I'd be like, no, this is the worst thing for my team. Why would I do that? I just can't do it. But that's messed up, right? Because you agreed to a trade. So it's
yeah,
like,
yeah. Once you say, yeah, let's do it, I feel like.
So for me,
there you go. Like, you have to do it.
So this is easy. You should never say yes unless you're 100% comfortable with it, man. Like you can't.
Absolutely.
You just be honest with them. I don't know. But I'd rather say, I don't know, and be like, let me come back to you. And, you know, in the end, whatever happens, happens, then put yourself into a corner and then feel like a bad person. Cause you never want to do that. You know what I mean? You don't want to feel that way no matter what, even though nobody's a bad person. You know what I mean? Feel like whatever, feel not good.
Yeah.
Cause you did something, obviously, you know, you don't want to feel like a dick. So yeah, just don't put yourself in that position.
Just be ethical.
Yeah.
Be ethical.
Just like in real life, gentlemen and ladies, like, if you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't feel like you have to do anything you don't want to do. This is something I learned early on when I was young. Like, nobody can make you do anything. So.
You hear that, women?
Yes. Nobody can make you do anything.
DU advocates over here. Okay, come on. Yeah,
we are advocates. So, you know, hey, this is a life show too. Like, you know, like, or it can be at times. Just, yeah. I mean, if you're going to say you're going to do something.
I love this show, man. It's so much fun.
Oh, I don't know, people respect that kind of like accountability. Yeah.
Accountability. We're all about accountability over here.
Oh my God.
Okay, next one. Working multiple deals at the same time. So how do you guys feel about, you know, you're doing one trade that involves player A, right? You're discussing, negotiating a trade with someone, or you send out multiple offers at the same time, right? With the same player to different people because he has a value that you want to move on from, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about doing that? Do you feel like there's any issues in like having two discussions at once?
I don't, not at all. I do it all the time. I do it in console wars.
Mm-hmm.
If I want a player, I'll send an offer out to all three. I'll see who responds. And then whoever responds, I'll start negotiating with.
Okay, console wars is a little specific because it has three copies of a player. But okay. What about...
In a general setting, I'll do the same thing. Let's say somebody hits me up for Nick Chubb. I will obviously be discussing with them, but then if he's on my trade block, I might throw him up my trade block just to see if anybody else in the league wants to offer me something different.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the end of the day, we're playing a game here to win. We want to get the best return possible for our investments. So if somebody's offering me a player and a pick for Chubb, but then somebody else comes in and offers me two younger players and a pick, I got to play the field inside, which is going to be better for my team at the end of the day.
Yeah. I look at this like in real life, if it was like an auction. So if you're trying to get rid of a player, you don't want to or Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or whatever. Like, you're talking to everybody, like trying to get a deal done. Like, it makes no sense to just do one-on-one. I have absolutely no problem, and I do it all the time because I can't sit there and just try one manager at a time. It's like, okay, if I'm looking to move Juju, I'm going to give all the teams that I think could use Juju an offer. I might have like 3-4 offers out there and go from there. There's nothing, absolutely nothing at all wrong with that. A lot of times I like to let one of the managers know that if they're talking to me, hey, I'm shopping them to other people. And sometimes I could actually help you, because then they know, oh, okay, maybe I got to throw in a little extra here to get it done.
Do you think you're obligated to tell the other party?
No, it's none of their business.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's interesting. Like, I do it all the time. I think that's a big part of the strategy of Dynasty is like, it's I think similar to like the NFL, right? Like, any GM is going to be talking to all the teams about a player that they want to move on from. And would they go to the other one and tell them, hey, this is the deal I have over here? Maybe if it was beneficial to them to say, hey, I have this sweet MF and deal over here. What else would you add on your side? But if they have lesser deals, why would they ever tell the other party that they're working any other deals, right? So I think that you're playing the market strategically, you're playing the field strategically, and you give up whatever part of your hand you feel necessary, but I don't think you're obligated to either. But some others may feel differently. I can see how it could rub somebody the wrong way, like finding out after the fact, like, or all of a sudden like another trade's accepted after they've been talking about one. But I think that's part of Dynasty and part of the negotiation process, you know? How about low ball offers or offers that are, you know, the managers feel pretty significant difference in value? Do those like ruin future trades for you, or are you able to like nip stuff in the bud, just be like, hey, like, this isn't it, like maybe the next one, or just decline and find common ground later? Does it like ruin things for you? Do you get upset with low ball trade offers? How do you guys feel about those?
No, mainly because everybody knows to shoot me an offer because they might get me on a low ball offer, but in all reality,
you might get anybody on a low ball offer. Yeah.
But no, in all reality, I think values of players is so subjective to the person, the situation that they're in at the time. No matter what player you name right now, one person might be the highest on them, another person might be the lowest on them. And really, depending on where you're discussing the deal, that value is going to fluctuate. And as we always say, if both parties feel a little bit unhappy about the trade, it was probably a good trade. So, and I personally view trades in a vacuum. So somebody might lowball me or offer me a trade and we might be like, yeah, this isn't happening. But then the next day they'll send me another trade offer and then we might start up another discussion. It's all about situation. And to me, like I said, it's all subjective and value.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really take offense to it really. I mean, like maybe short term be like, what in the hell was he thinking? Like that one I sent you guys. Randomly a guy sent me Jarvis Landry, Irv Smith, and a second for CeeDee Lamb and a first. I'm just like, okay, like, hey, you know, shoot your shot, but like
somebody, you know, was drinking.
what am I gonna do with that trade? I'm not gonna respond in any type of way because it's not going anywhere. That's way too far apart. Like, you don't need a trade calculator for that, right? But I don't hold a grudge at all with these trades. Like, half the time I just forget who it was that, you know, sent me the weird trade in the first place. It's probably best that I don't do a lot of talking with trades. So like, I don't actually.
Yeah. You save yourself.
I don't have this personality attached to, like, you know, their Joe Schmo 69, you know, at Gmail. So.
Oh, see, it's much more fun that way when you attach a personality. Cause like, like the guy in our Devi League, like he is a whole formed thing to me. Like, he may look like what I think he looks like, but to me, no, I'm gonna go keep going.
But yeah, no, I think in what Josh kind of pointed on too is just like, you know, yeah, maybe this offer wasn't very good and it just was one of those where I just hit decline and, you know, went to bed. But I didn't ruin anything there. I didn't burn any bridges by blowing up at him or anything like that. So like, maybe next time he'll send me a different trade that I'm like, well, this is a little bit closer. Let's try to work something out. So I try my best not to like have any bad blood in between league mates if I can. So most of the time I just kind of let it roll. I have a really short memory, so I just kind of let it roll off my back and just keep going with it. But I send out low ball offers too all the time. I do it on purpose sometimes. So like, I get it.
No, I do the same thing. And mostly when I do it though, it's to let the person know I'm interested in the player. and without wanting him to accept the trade right away. Normally I'll message him also like, look, this is just me showing interest in the trade. But yeah, I guess that's all I got.
Okay. So this is one that I had recently with somebody that I know personally. Kick it off like this. This going along the same lines of low ball offers, right? So I sent Marquise Brown for Christian Kirk and Jeff Wilson, right? He's out of contention. He has Kyler Murray. I think Marquise Brown is the superior dynasty asset in general here. And if you asked anybody, you know, 4 months ago, they would say Marquise Brown easily. But obviously Christian Kirk just had a smash game. He's doing very well. And Jeff Wilson is doing really well. What do you guys think? Just right there, Marquise Brown for Christian Kirk and Jeff Wilson.
I'm on the Marquise Brown side all day.
It seems like a perfect trade for a team competing and a team not competing. You know, if you're competing, go ahead and grab Christian Kirk and Jeff Wilson. Jeff Wilson, like, yeah, he's doing good, but like, do any of us really expect any long-term value out of him?
I think another year. I'm honestly giving him another year.
If I'm bottom third in the league, I'm going to definitely want a young dude like Marquise Brown attached to Kyler Murray over Jeff Wilson. Christian Kirk, Marquise Brown, maybe there's some argument there, some recency bias, but Marquise Brown's just a better dynasty asset. I think it's a very fair trade. These are the type of trades we see all the time.
I mean,
was there pushback on the trade?
Oh no, I'm going to get into that. But I mean, I just want to talk it through to maybe gain some of perspective from the other side, right? Because part of his argument was they're both the same age, right? Like Christian Kirk and Marquise Brown, they're both 25 years old, but Marquise Brown, again, I think attached to a more high-powered offense, he's also just proven to be a better player over his career than Christian Kirk has. And while Kirk is doing well right now, we've also seen him slump pretty hard this year in tough matchups. Marquise Brown, we've seen him 17 targets this year, right? Like absolute stud almost every game. And part of the argument was we haven't seen him with D-Hop back, but D-Hop is not long for the Cardinals. And I wasn't willing to argue back and forth with him just the way that, and this was part of it. It was just the way kind of the tone got. It was like, what makes you think I donate Jeff Wilson to go with him? Don't say let's serious and send me that, you know? Don't see why the stack is more important than sending me something that's clearly leaning in your benefit.
Wait, Billy, really quick. Sorry for cutting you off. So was he trying to do a straight trade, just Brown for Kirk?
No, I just sent, the only thing that happened was I sent to him Brown for Kirk and Wilson.
Okay,
and he hopped in the DMs just like on fire. Like, this is a ridiculous offer. Like, what are you talking about? And like, I don't know if he thinks that he's going to get a second for Jeff Wilson somewhere. Like, I'm almost interested to see if he trades anything at like before the deadline in this league. And gets anything, because if you don't trade Jeff Wilson before the deadline and you don't need him this year, I'm concerned you don't get anything for him going forward.
Yeah,
or not anything, but you're not getting a second, you're not getting whatever. And yeah, the stack is worth going and getting Marquise Brown. Stacks are plus EV. Stacks are success on top of success.
Yeah.
They help you win more in the matchups where they do well. Like, that's the whole point of it. And
especially that stack, who has already proven to be have a great connection, and it's just a fantasy producer.
Yeah, like and the thing is if you come back and say, give me a third on top, you know, Marquise Brown in the third, we can talk in there, but like the idea that it's not even close is just crazy. But my whole point in this was that, you know, I sent an offer that and I didn't ask you, just you guys. I went in the DFF chat. They all said, yeah, that makes sense for a contender and for a non-contender. That makes, or a rebuild or whatever. And so he's saying this to me. I said, dude, he said, that's a really weird offer to send. Like, and I'm like, I've asked like a bunch of people. You're the only one who said it's weird. So like, I don't know. So my point is like, don't act like this. Like, even if you think that, like, I'm not going to trade with you anymore. Like, I have no interest in talking to you or sending you an offer that I'm going to get berated for. Like, I don't care. So it's like, you know, unless you send me something super compelling, I really got no interest in dealing with you.
So I definitely think the way he went upon this was wrong, but I'm pretty sure I know who it was. And one thing to keep in mind, though, is he's used to redraft and not dynasty. So he might be I'm trying to throw him a lifeline here. Maybe he's just used to looking at it for strictly this year and this year's production versus what the possibility could be 2, 3, 4 years out the line.
Yeah, sure. And I get that. I get getting caught up in the points, but, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I feel like you get more trades done if you don't conduct yourself that way in negotiations, right? Like I'm certain there was a different middle ground we could have came to that probably got him something that he wanted and what I was looking for. And yeah, like I think when you're not a contender, like somebody might be trying to take advantage of you. When you are a contender, somebody might be trying to take advantage of you. But like, it's not worth, I feel like, just like, I don't know, going about it that way. So my whole point in this was like, we get lowball offers all the time. Other people get lowball offers all the time. It's more about like not reacting in a way that's going to ruin like a relationship, no matter what it is. Like, well, bingo. I'll send a note back and say, hey, like, this isn't even close. Just to let you know, it's not close. Like, we're not on the same page, but I'm not going to blow you up like that. So, yeah, I think you get a lot more done the other way. Anyway. All right. Let's talk some trades and non-trades.
Well, I was just thinking it's a good topic. It's just a good topic for people getting in a dynasty, trying to navigate how to trade. If you're the type that wants to talk about trades with people, you know, it's just about tone. And it's the same thing. This is really a life lesson show. It's about tone. Because you don't do that in real life. Like if you're trying to like, you go to a garage sale and you're like, hey, I want these 5 items. They're all marked $3. That's 15. Would you do 12? Well, the lady's not going to be like, or man, sorry. Not going to be like, what, 12? That's an absurd offer. Like, they're like, no, how about 13? And you're like, hey, 13, that makes a lot more sense to me. Let's go. But if you blow up in their face, like, you're not getting those, you know.
It's a great analogy.
except you should have started at 10. And then
I'm just saying. You know, like,
see, I was starting at 8. Whatever, man. Like, you know, you got to, no. And again, like, I'm trying to get plus every time. So yes,
of course.
I think that this was a plus deal. That's why I was trying to do it. Long run, I do think I lose value on Jeff Wilson because he will be a dead asset eventually. But I understand his side of it not loving it. I don't understand thinking it's absolutely stupid, ridiculous. Like, it's not. It's just not. Like, you can have whatever values you want. And so to you, it can be ridiculous. But, you know, at a baseline level, like, that's a pretty fair offer. And there's some wiggle room around it. If you want more or less on your side, then you can negotiate it down. But that's not what you did. You didn't negotiate it. So you lose, I guess. My team will be fine.
Some trades and non-trades.
Okay, so this first one's not me.
First one's mine. Traded a 2025th second for Jeff Wilson and a 2024 third.
If it's going to help you push you over the top for a competing team, then sure, yeah.
I need a running back, so.
Yep, nothing wrong there.
That's how you do it.
Picks are farther enough out that I could always get it back out.
Yeah, so. Both picks. I didn't realize it was 2025 second. I mean, yeah. That's literally like eons away. So it's really not even like you traded anything yet. So yeah, it's a good deal. Okay, this one's me. This is a 1QB league. Team just so unlucky, man. My team has so many points for it. It's ridiculous. And I'm like 3-7. It's very frustrating. But
damn.
But I actually did my like overall record, and that's like one of the very few leagues that's like that. So I've had quite a good season. But I'm trying to get ahead of everything here and look ahead to 23, right? So I moved DeAndre Hopkins and a 24 third for 23 first. How we feel?
Where's the 23 first line?
I mean, it's going to be in the middle, but
okay.
Possibly later if he makes a crazy push. His team right now is like, I think, fifth or so. So he's going to make the playoffs, but he's not a top contender.
I mean, regardless, I like the deal. D-Hop's aging. I think the 23 first is super valuable, and you know how I feel about third. So
yeah, I kind of want to make sure so I'm not talking out of my ass on that one. But I do think that he is mid. But either way, yeah. One way or another, I don't know if you're getting a 23 first for DeAndre Hopkins many times.
No. And if all it takes is a 24 third to make D-Hop a 23 first, then smash.
Yeah, that was my thought. Was like, how can I turn whatever picks and players I have into firsts? So, you know, I'm kind of all about that. And looking, yep, he's fifth. I'm right. He is in fifth place. So, yeah, I think that's a decent deal. Okay, that's a way you can get out of Hopkins before Marquise Brown comes back, right? Because we don't know what it's going to look like, but right now we know what it looks like. Get out now. All right, next one. Okay, this is a great, like, I love that I can get some of these deals done because it's really actionable for listeners, I feel like, in season. And I like to move quickly when stuff like this happens. So Cooper Kupp, we talked about his injury, really sucks. I obviously talked about it plenty, saying I think that he's going to bounce back and be okay next season. Short term, if you have him on a top contender and you lose all those points, that's kind of tough, right? How do you move on and still maintain some dynasty value, right? Like, that's the whole idea. How can I move on but still not screw myself and just go for Jeff Wilson and some other guy? You know what I mean? I don't want to do that from Cooper Kupp when I know that his value is going to bounce back and I can sell him for more later. So I was offered, actually, in DU1 where this happened to me, and my points are concentrated. I needed to move on. I really didn't have a choice, I don't think. Somebody, Dylan, don't need to hide behind anything. Dylan was like, he came to me and he was like, what do you think about Debo for Kupp straight up? And as soon as he said that to me, I was like, I know you're trying to get more than just Kupp. Like, you want Kupp plus on this. I know you do, because, like, that's just how he trades. We negotiated for a long time. Like, I sent him like a bunch of offers or whatever to, you know, with like Kareem Hunt and trying to get like a second back and Debo or whatever, trying to add like thirds on top or whatever. Either way, it ended up coming to Kupp and a 24 third for Debo. He actually asked for a fourth and I was like, can you just let me keep my fourth, dude? And we have some mutual respect. So I think that, you know, when it comes to that, and this is again, why you like to keep really good trade partners, really good negotiations, keep cordial and build those foundations, because him and I are like, we have a really good rapport, right? So it's like, when it comes to like the smallest thing, like I do the same for him. If I sent something with a fourth and he was like, can we cut that fourth off, I'd be like, yeah, like whatever, just like any of us would if we were making these negotiations. And so either way, it came to that. So Cooper Kupp and a third for Debo, how do we feel?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, do you,
it keeps you rolling and you don't have to give up a whole lot to keep rolling, and hopefully Debo's usage gets better. But it, you know, that's the type of trade that you just got to make. Like, I'm kind of out on Kupp. So I know it sounds crazy. It does. Yeah. But, you know, I think a year from now, you know, it's not going to sound as crazy. And this is the time of year you're trying to like score points. Kupp ain't scoring you points for a little bit. So,
and you got a younger receiver. So
yeah, I don't mind it at all. I think it's a good trade.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I don't think, I'm not out on Kupp. I think Kupp is going to have a resurgence for a year or two with like top 10 points per game, which is great. And his team has like a billion first round picks. So he's going to have like a pretty solid team, I think, going into next year and the year after. And Kupp could definitely be like an anchor to that team, you know what I mean, to help him compete. So I think, and anybody, I think that Kupp could do that for another year or two. I'm actually sad to move on from Kupp here, because I think that there's going to be a value spike where you can sell him for possibly more than this. That said, I think Debo is like fantastic return for Kupp. Like, he is a super stable dynasty asset. So I mean, I'm happy with it. Like, I'm not disappointed at all, but I do think that he's going to be seen as losing this trade, and it might not look that bad in the end.
It really depends on Kupp's health and how he comes back from this injury. I really don't feel this trade can be evaluated properly until we see how Kupp returns to the field.
Yeah, I don't think anybody lost this trade. I think it's just a good trade.
Yep. That's fair. Okay, this is also in DU1. And I'm 100% regretting taking the McLaurin deal. I had two deals going, actually, that I could have taken. So I ended up I moved Isaiah Likely and Donovan Peoples-Jones for Alan Lazard. And I don't hate it. Like, he had kind of a down week or whatever against really tough coverage. He had really tough coverage, though. Like, it was a
Stephon
tough matchup.
Diggs.
Yeah. Or Trayvon Diggs. Yes. And Diggs was on him all day. And the only times that he was super productive was when he wasn't, really. And while obviously Christian Watson is going to get some more play, I still think Lazard is the guy there. So I'm good with this. I'm not upset about it at all. I think that he's a good piece for what I'm doing here. But I had to deal with Isaiah Likely, DPJ, Khalil Herbert, and a third, I think, for McLaurin. And I don't know if I could have gotten the Debo deal done, because I wouldn't have had the third. So there's that, right? But kind of regretting not getting that McLaurin deal done, because I do think McLaurin, much better dynasty asset, obviously. Plenty of upside. And I like McLaurin. So I was really between the two. I felt like Lazard was the cheaper deal, and that's why I did it.
Yeah, definitely the cheaper deal.
This is a tough one for me because I really like Likely, and DPJ is growing on me. And there's a huge question, and there's a huge question mark at quarterback for Lazard next season.
Well, I'm buying him for this season, so that's 100% true. I do not care. That was not about dynasty value. That was about points.
I gotcha. If you're looking at it as a vacuum like that, then I think it was a good deal on your part.
Yeah, I think if we had this discussion before Lazard got kind of shut down last week, we'll probably be looking at like it was even better. DPJ's been having like a quiet good season too. It's kind of crazy, but
I mean, he's a pretty decent player. And honestly, Julio might end up winning this trade in the end, or probably already won this trade because I sold low on DPJ before Watson came back. I probably could have waited. I may not have had to do that deal at all. So I've been making a couple of deals that, again, I've been moving quickly, trying to really set myself up because I have a couple of teams that are in contention. And sometimes when you move too fast, you'll make mistakes. So that's also something to take into next year and next couple of weeks is maybe play it a little slower because I am making a couple of deals that I regret a little bit. There's been probably – it's mainly the Fields one still, but there's a couple. I mean, again, like I think I could have found a way to get McLaurin instead and done that. But, yeah, you live and you learn.
Yeah. Make the trade. You can't regret it, so –
Nope. Okay, last one here. I have this one pending. Interested to see your thoughts. Michael Carter for Wandale Robinson.
You're giving away Michael Carter?
I am. Again, this is actually the same team I did the Hopkins deal in. I'm not in contention anymore, so I'm thinking of how I can get upside plays for the future.
It's fine. I'm interested to see how Michael Carter does. They're pretty efficient in the run game. Even with Breece Hall gone, Carter looks better than he did last year, which for whatever reason, I think he's definitely a timeshare kind of guy. Like I think we said when he was coming out of college too, like who was he with? Was it Daryl Henderson?
No, Javonte Williams.
Javonte Williams. And it's like, okay, so Michael
they were the
Carter,
same dude.
Yeah, it's like he's good, but I don't think he's like a workhorse type of person. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with him right now. Wandale, love the guy, but it's a whatever. There's nothing. I don't have any strong feelings about it. Let's put it that way. it's fine. It's like, you want the Micah Carter is not long for the team. I don't think. We'll see how they use James Robinson. I don't know. Michael Carter's a guy that you want to get off your team this time of year if you're not in contention. James Robinson's a guy you want to get off your team this time of year if you're not in contention. Jeff Wilson Jr., Mostert. These are guys that like, okay, if you're not gonna go for the glory, get them the F off your team now. So, yeah, go ahead and get Wandale because he's going to be in the league a lot longer than Michael Carter. He might not do shit, but at least he'll be on a team.
Yeah. I'm high on both players. I really like Michael Carter, but I'm also really like Wandale. So it really depends on where your position need is.
How do we not – like, I feel like I know exactly who Michael Carter is, right? Like, Breece Hall, James Robinson, Michael Carter. Michael Carter steps in for Breece Hall when he's injured. Like, James Robinson is going to continue to get more carries as he, builds with the offense and learns the offense. I just feel like he's, at best, James Robinson plus a little bit,
Look, it's going to be 1A, 1B the rest of the season.
What I meant to say is he's like a James White, like long-term, right? He's like a guy who like you can throw in your flex spot and like sometimes get you points, sometimes doesn't. He might end up on a team and actually be like that 1B. But like right now he's like, I think when Breece Hall's back next year, he's like 1BC, right?
Oh, he won't be on the team next year.
I don't know. I mean, I think he's still under his rookie contract. Like,
yeah, but if they keep J-Rod, I cannot see them keeping Carter.
They're not keeping it. I don't think they'll keep J-Rod. I doubt it. Like, I think he was just a fill-in for this year, but they're going to run a committee there. So I feel like I know exactly who Michael Carter is. I feel like he's never going to get a role. If Wandale Robinson ever pans out, he could be a starting receiver, right? A number three, number two, whatever. I think he's a guy who you get in your lineup more often. So that's the idea, is taking a shot on that.
Yeah, not a bad trade either way.
Don't hate it. Nope.
Okay.
All right.
That's all I got. We are so good on time, man. We're so good.
Like, we are.
It just seems to work out that way.
We don't even try, though, and it ends up just – the clock just – right. Like, time isn't even a thing. It's not real.
It's a construct.
Yeah. It's what you make it. It's all perception.
This is a very heady episode.
It was.
life, you know, nuggets and stuff. Like, you know, we're out here just trying to educate like your everyday life too. So.
And Josh has the Northern Lights in his background. Like, I'm really feeling it right now. I'm really feeling the vibe. It's great.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode, Dynasty Underdog. Follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Underdog, at JustJuriFF, at Willie Beeman DFF, and at Josh Norton Goldberg. Make sure you subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/DynastyUnderdog. Have a great week, everyone.
Later.